Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Sorry we're a little late today, but we had some scheduling issues, so we had to, not a scheduling issue regarding our time, but I scheduled something wrong on the Blog Talk Radio.
Just a few minutes.
Yeah. So my apologies for that, but here we are, and hopefully our show is now visible. It was not visible in live shows at the time that I changed about 10 minutes before the show, but it takes a while to upload. So right now we don't have any callers, and actually it's 9/11, and so Neil had an idea about talking about the element of sacrifice, obviously in theme of the anniversary of 9/11. First, however, I'm going to invite people to call. So that number is 914-338-0164. If anyone's listening, give us a call. We'd love to do readings with you today. And please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Again, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And we would also love it if our callers and listeners join us on Facebook and Twitter. And you know, it's to your benefit. It actually helps if you're calling us to be assisted with your problems. The energy of your support is going to help you as well. If you don't support, well, good luck.
Well, you know, I mean, it is 9/11, and I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the terminology of observation of 9/11 or remembrance of 9/11. I mean, these are words that are somewhat applied to the respect of the date itself.
I assume you've been reading the newspaper, and there's probably articles.
No, I'm not.
Oh, because I would.
No, I haven't. No. There's nothing regarding
well,
that.
Well, on my notifications from news articles, because I do get notifications, there are. So I thought
they
maybe
use those terms?
Yeah, remembrance of 9/11.
During holidays, they usually say observation or remembrance. So I'm not totally comfortable with those direct terms here. Although they are applied with some due respect, but they just seem out of place. I don't even know if there is a word to describe what happened to our country on that day, and the sacrifices that were made, and the tragic events that occurred, how many people died, and the things that were done.
And not only that, but still people are still affected. There was another news notification I had about a first responder who, you know, all these first responders have become ill because of the exposure to the toxins at the at this
long-term effects.
Yeah.
So I mean, but, you know, we have remembrance of Memorial Day and Veterans Day. I mean, I guess it's an okay term, but I want to highlight the fact that it's difficult to look at an event like this, as it is any event, the wars, the Holocaust, genocide, even individual tragic events that occur on an individual level. I don't know what the right word is, but our topic today is more or less regarding the highest chakra of all, in my estimation, in human terms, which is the chakra of sacrifice. When you know you're you're going to die doing an act that is to save others.
Right, and it is also the highest chakra in the body.
It is the seventh chakra. I mean, it does occupy a human sacrifice on that level. Losing your life in order to save others, especially people you don't even know, presents itself as an immediate zone of high energy that impacts the seventh chakra, that is instantaneously involved in the crossover once that person has.
Right. And so we were talking about this on the last show, actually. Do you remember? A little bit. We touched on it because we were talking about the idea of karma. And I said, I wonder if you did a study, how many people, I mean, which is impossible, it would be impossible. But those who don't subscribe to the idea of karma yet, sacrifice their lives for someone else, how often does that person transcend?
Well,
if they
don't have
a total spiritual existence as they move through their, you know, linear journey on one specific lifetime.
In sacred texts, there are suggestions that there's no greater sacrifice than for one to lay down their life for their fellow human being. And I guess this also involves more significantly conventional ideas of that premise, like in war, where you go to war and you fight for your country and you die for your country. But that's a buildup. That's a purpose, and people are rooted in the idea that they're going to enlist.
Right, and that is a possibility. It's not like a split decision. Whereas, you know, if someone sees a child about to be hit by a car and runs into the street at that moment, it's a totally different,
very different,
different energy.
It lends itself to an impulse that you forget about everything in your life, maybe your family, your profession, the idea of being on the planet, that at that moment you are going to lose all of that.
Well, but I have to just say something, because in the moment when someone's impulsive, they're not thinking, actually. So in that moment, the person probably isn't thinking of their family. They're thinking of just the act.
Yeah.
They're about to, you know, save that child, for instance.
Right.
So those thoughts may not be present, meaning that consciousness isn't necessarily there when they're saving, trying to save
the
child.
I mean, a lot of people were interviewed after doing a heroic act, and they do survive that act. They typically say, I just did it. I wasn't thinking. I didn't
analyze.
Right.
They're not measuring, well, I'm going to be giving this up if I do this. It's just a split second decision.
And sometimes the action itself doesn't result in a death, or the person thinks they're going to die. They are deliberately responding to the event at hand, a dog running in the street or a child drowning or something like that, and they jump in and save the child, assuming that they're going to survive. Now, in 9/11, when there was no immediate claim to safety, where people were just doomed, fire was approaching, smoke, when people were not running ahead of everybody, but making sure that people got out as well as they could under those circumstances, and they knew that the longer they stayed helping people, that they were going to meet a very tragic, horrific end.
I'm sorry, Neil. I just want to acknowledge the callers in the queue, because there are a couple people who have not pressed one. So 519 may just be listening. 703 just came in. 703, or 519. If either of you want a reading, please press one. I think 703 has got to want a reading. 519 usually listens. Yes, that caller wants reading. Okay, we're going to get to you in just a moment. Oh, they both want rings. Okay. So 519 is going to be first, and then 703.
Yeah, we'll just spend a few more
couple
minutes
on this, and then we'll
get
back.
And then we will get to your call, your questions. But now, think about it. You know, you're in a situation, and you can live. If you remain in a certain position, you know you'll probably die, and it's going to be not pleasant. And you make the decision to help others live. Now, that's the strongest result of a sacrifice, in my estimation, or at least up there in the top three categories. When that happens, the energy field just wipes out, in a very large majority of energy, all your sins, all your wrongdoings. It takes you to an immediate leap of a high energy field of chakra intensity. And it does, it, like we said, there are supportive texts that might even suggest that this is for real, that there is an element
of such a great sacrifice will result in a soul never returning to the planet, essentially.
Possibly.
Because it's not always, I mean, you can make a great sacrifice, but if you have a great deal of karma and negative past life history, sometimes that sacrifice is not going to outweigh all
that. Maybe you'll come
that.
Back and be able to redeem those karmic notes.
Right, and you probably
you
have a higher energy
in that lifetime. And the rule of punishment or making up for your sins isn't going to be as severe. We don't know that part quite correctly, but what we're suggesting is, especially on this day, for those people who sacrificed their lives for others, pertaining to this event, because it is 9/11, the chakras of those people, the intensity of that energy, their seventh chakra must be such an overabundance of energy in that action of itself. So when we talk about the highest chakra, we're not just talking about the seventh chakra. Of course, that's an important chakra. People go through life and they're spiritual advisors and they help others. But a lot of us that do that lead relatively comfortable lives. We're of service to people,
but
and we do services,
still an
but we don't.
Of physicality
there's nothing
in their
heroic.
Life, right?
You know, I'm talking about those that serve, but under comfortable or somewhat comfortable, relatively speaking.
Well, then you have to figure about, you know, the people that were first responders and actually survived but risked their lives. What type of energy fills that seventh chakra of people that are suffering from cancer or whatever disease?
Well, they
entered
the ocean.
From.
You know, how far the depths of that ocean of high energy will be determined by higher authorities. But
right, and obviously they've continued their journey on the planet, and who knows what's happened, you know, since then.
Yeah,
and, you
it's
know,
all relative
sins
to all kinds of actions.
Acts of redemption.
But we're specifically talking about those that gave their lives, not those that survived. Those that gave their lives intentionally. There was intent. They it wasn't impulsive. They calculated, I'm not going to live doing this, but I'm going to save others. That will be my final decision. I want these people to live. Now that, I think, it hits a height of energy that rings the bell of the seventh chakra. But we have to think that chakra, there's a large volume of energy in that chakra. Like we said, some people are mild spiritualists. Some people help others. They have wonderful lives, but they help others. That still occupies part of the seventh chakra, but what rings the bell is the ultimate sacrifice.
Okay, Neil, we've got to take some of these callers, so perhaps we can get back to this, but we've got another person, so we want to make sure we can get to all the calls. 519, hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Kristen. Hello, Neil. It's Jennifer.
Yes.
I like what you were saying, except, you know, sometimes people sacrifice their lives, but they're not really afraid of dying. So there's a difference between, you know, being okay with dying and having a fear of dying and saving someone's life or putting your life on the line to save someone.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is absolutely the truth. We're referring to those people where the energy field is not necessarily part of that. That's a different category of people who do not fear death. And so the sacrifice they make doesn't have the same intensity, if you will, as someone who is scared to death, but is
scared
helping
to
others.
Death of death,
and mm-hmm. fears death, but faces that. See, it's a different energy in the mind. The mind is composed of a different factor of motive.
But
so
all...
if they overwhelm that fear, if that fear is overwhelmed by saving others, it's a different arrangement of energy.
But also, as we were saying earlier in the conversation, if a person tries to save someone and there's no consciousness of whether they're going to die or not, they just are involved in the act of saving, that has to count for something, whether you're afraid of death or you're not afraid mm-hmm. of death. Because most people, I would say, venture to say that most people are not measuring when they're risking their lives to save someone, how safe it's going to be or dangerous to their own lives. They're just involved in the act of saving somebody else. So,
yeah. I mean, there's still, Jennifer, there still has to be some element of fear and burning to death or falling out of a window.
Yeah,
there's got to be something there that factors in. Maybe the idea of death doesn't disturb them so much, but how one goes can be, you know, I'm not afraid of death, but I don't want to be eaten by a shark and, you know.
Or burned to death. God.
So, but your point is well taken. There is validity in what you're saying, Jennifer, yes.
I know that I would just freeze in fear because I've been in situations where I could have done something and I have no fear of death, but I freeze and I don't know why.
Well,
so it's the willingness is there, but the body won't move.
What is the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, we're a contradiction in terms. We're human beings, and we're a contradiction in terms. And it's that final leap that one takes, that great leap. And sometimes you can run to the edge of a cliff and then stop short. But it's that leap. And there's no judgment about it. It's just the frozen aspect. Maybe you're not supposed to die. Maybe you have another journey to take on the planet in your particular lifetime. I don't know. But, you know, that's a psychological crisis in terms of freezing. The human beings go into a state of shock. If a young, innocent animal sees a cougar, sometimes they freeze. It's flight or just staying in one space. And a lot of animals instinctively will just freeze in the state of danger. So it might be something instinctual that you have some kind of brain link to instinct that you freeze in a state of crisis, because some of us do for survival. And it does probably pertain to some aspect of self-survival in you. So I don't know, you know, but your motives and your consciousness is well taken, that you have a mind that you would attempt to sacrifice and help others, and that you're not afraid of death.
Sorry, Jennifer, that you respond to that. Go ahead.
Oh no, I thought you wanted to say something, and I think it was important actually.
Well, you know, I'm interjecting, it's completely on a different subject, but the last we spoke to you, you had a court case and you never updated us. So what happened briefly? I don't know if you have a question today, but aside from that.
Oh, yeah. So what has happened is, so I thought I would just go in and, you know, plead my case because my ex wanted the best of both worlds. But it turns out that he had an ulterior motive. He and his lawyer want to go after me for being underemployed and not making as much money as I should have. They're saying that I choose to get laid off. So it's now going to the court. So,
oh, no.
Even though the judge did say you won't win to them, he's fixated on – I can't – understand. And maybe that's maybe good because you asked that question. Maybe that's my question: is what is it? What's happening that he can't let go of? It's I feel like it's me. He needs to be a victim, and I need to be. And I feel like I'm playing the role of villain.
So what's his birthday, Jennifer? First of all,
October 21st.
Oh, and the year, well, he's got that 11 and the 10 going on, which is can be problematic, as you know. What's his year?
Mm-hmm. 1968.
So is this judge, he's a 28-10 one, he's compounded. And this is proving not to be great for you, 6-1. What your master numbers involve his fire number and the 6 in his year, so he holds them. What is this judge going to be the judge that makes the decision ultimately in this case?
Not necessarily.
A different judge. That's unfortunate.
It is.
but anyway, I'm sorry. Your question is again why he's
yeah, it just continues. It's like never ending, and I feel like no matter what I do or say, even if I gave in to him, it would be something else next. Like it's just like this, the wheel never stops turning for him on ways to, you know, aggravate me.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're dealing on two levels. You're dealing on a purely psychological level, and for him in this lifetime, what composes this man's mind and intent and actions going all the way back from his upbringing. Then you're dealing with a larger dimension of past life. So you have a strong past life crisis with him that goes back probably two lifetimes. And so this, if we talk about the past life vocabulary, this man has not been satisfied with whatever wrongs were committed between the two of you via past life. And he's got a very negative, stubborn streak in him that is innate. He came into the world with it. And so that energy of his 1021,
which
becomes your four, which is webbed in the first number of your month, which disrupts your balance.
And his 2-1 becomes her 3. So he actually holds your month and day in his month and day.
Yeah.
Demonstrates a karmic.
Because your 4-3 becomes the 7 in terms of the 1-6. So he's disrupting your balance. You see, you have this 4 going in your month. He's a 1021 because that adds up to 4. It the suggestion is it breaks up your 4.
And it's broken up by, I mean, it's the base chakra and relationships, the second chakra.
This is what is
involving is your family and your relationship with him, who's your ex-husband. But what are you going to say?
And not only that, but his 21 breaks up your 3.
3, that's what I said.
Yeah, like Kristen was saying. You see, so he's breaking up, but this is all karmic. It's not you can make some sense of it by saying, well, this is the way he was always this way, you know, always angry about this or whatever. But if you get to a point, Jennifer, where you go, I'm lost, I don't get this guy, you've got to go to a past life. And you don't need to know the specifics. The numbers themselves will suggest that probably you came back more solid in mind than him. You're more solid in mind than he is. But that doesn't take away from what you might have done in a past life to him. And he's coming back. So he's attacking you in your soul, which holds one of those past lives. You happen to be carrying that soul.
And the problem is the fact that you have children together. I mean, it's not a problem. It's great that you have children. But because of the children, then the karma is more deep. So now you're battling this issue over kids and finances, and, you know, it becomes more complicated than if you were to have had divorced without children.
Yeah, Jennifer, you know, to put it more bluntly, a guy holds up another guy he doesn't know, and he goes, give me all your money. And then he gives him his money, goes, no offense, I don't know you, but I can't have a witness, and he kills him. Now, we can just say, okay, this is a sociopath. This guy is nuts. But we can also say, okay, this is past life. Most people won't accept that, except those that take credence to the idea that there is past life justification. I don't even know if that would be justification. But eye for eye, tooth for tooth is still part of the Old Testament. And I think that involves some sort of karmic consideration. So what's going
to
happen
in order to, so by acknowledging it though?
Well, you're a six. So what's going to happen here is just keep your vision intact. Be logical to the judge if you have an opportunity to speak or if your attorney speaks for you. The pure logic. This judge will be moved by logic
and hopefully,
more than emotion.
Hopefully the judge that's handling your case now will report his findings from the point, you know, I mean, if he's not the one on the case, you know, have his support, since it clearly he seems to favor you in this matter, would be very helpful. So I don't know if that's possible, if he isn't assigned to. Go ahead.
I'll just ask for the highest and the best.
Well, you can ask for the highest and the best, but on a physical, you know, on a physical plane, you want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to try to counteract whatever your ex is doing. What is it possible that you can request that this judge continues this matter? Is there anything that you can do? I don't know how the court system works in Canada.
No, it's just, you're assigned who you're assigned. It could be the same person. It could be someone previous. This, I think we've had three different judges for settlement conferences.
Wow.
And all of them seem reasonable to me. They all seem reasonable. And I've got all my facts, all my paperwork's done. I've got all the proof that I I've been interviewing. Everybody knows I've been interviewing. I've been applying, so it's not that I haven't been applying.
The code in your birth date, 4-3, adds up to 7, and that happens to be your year, as we noted. That means something. That is restoring your journey in this lifetime to some equilibrium, some homeostasis, if you will, between yourself and your soul and your karma. So going through this ordeal, but it can result in completion. So however it works out, we'll put out energy that it works out in your behalf, of course. But however it works out, just remain steadfast, accept the ruling, and don't let it sway you from your spirituality, which of course it won't, but don't let it.
Absolutely. That's great advice. And you know what? It's true. I won't let it.
Okay, Jennifer. Well, good luck.
And
keep us informed about what's happening.
I will.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Can I listen in still? Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. You can't. I'll put you on mute. Take care. All right. We lost somebody, but oh well. Okay. 703 and 530. I always should let people know that we see them in the queue because sometimes I think they get impatient. 703, hi.
Hi, Neil and Kristen. How are you?
Hi, fine.
Holly.
How are you?
I'm good. Holly. Thank you.
Polly.
Polly with a P.
Oh, Polly with a P. Oh, Polly. Polly,
yeah,
with a daughter that had the boyfriend or has the boyfriend, and you had those problems with the boyfriend, whether she should move to be with him or not.
Oh, my daughter. Yes, absolutely. That's me.
That's you.
My question concerns, as you're talking about karma, and I started really thinking about it, and our family really just has had such a hard last few years, and it just seems like it continues, and I'm wondering if I'm trying to understand all this numerology. It was like listening to a foreign language when you guys are just talking. I'm like, I gotta figure out all this stuff. So Yeah,
I'm
just wondering if I gave birthdays of my husband and I.
Okay, so well, first, let's get your birth date. Let's get your birth date.
Okay, it's 5/20/65.
5/20/1965, and you're in on the East Coast, if I
correct,
recall.
Virginia.
Okay, so 7/17, and before we go into the karma issue, 7/17/8/1, and your question, what's happened with your daughter? She's still with a boyfriend?
She is, and she would like to relocate to Atlanta, so she's job hunting.
So she thinks she's going to move.
She's
in Atlanta.
She's not going to move in with him. She's he's in Atlanta, and she has some friends there. So her goal is to get closer to him to see really if this is going to work out
or not. Okay, well we're curious what was going on regarding. So you say it's been a couple of rough years for you. Can you, for the sake of time,
sure.
Little synopsis.
My husband was military for 26 years, so we moved around a lot and everything, and he was gone a lot. But you know, we got through all that. 3 years this October, my oldest son died of a drug overdose. My younger son has never kind of gotten over that and seems to be heading that way. And so it's just
heading that
like,
way in terms of heading that way, meaning he's also using drugs.
Yes. Yeah. And he's lost a couple friends. And so it's just like, what did we do in the past life that brought this on? Cause it's a constant worry, you know?
Sure. Okay. So Polly, let's get birth dates of your family members.
Okay.
Your husband. Go ahead.
Husband is 8/26/1959.
Okay.
The son that died was a twin to my daughter. 10/25/1995.
Gosh, it was a twin to your daughter. But it sounds like the one taking it the hardest is the 18.
The younger brother. They were, yeah. And he is
4/29/98. 4/29/98. 11, 15, 25. 17. And he has a long, he's 42.6, right? Is that what you got for the youngest son, Neil?
I'm not there yet.
Oh, we're adding up. 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, and 13, 31, 4. The thing is, one, about numerology, you're not going to find this anywhere else, the information about karma and the number system. Basically, everything that's out there about numerology is more on a superficial level. Personality profiles, type of things like that. So, you know, Neil has developed throughout the years his own theories about numerology. And of course, you know, now that we're together, we're writing a book. And so it's going to be
good.
The first of its kind. But of course, we're not really anywhere near done with the book. It's a really long process. So the information will be out there. We do talk about numerology somewhat on the show, but we also limit it because of the fact that the book is coming out. But, you know, if you listen regularly, you'll pick up stuff in the readings and so on and so forth, and we can talk a little bit about what's going on with the whole family structure. It's a 31-4 for the twins, right?
No,
32-5. 32-5. Added it up wrong. Okay, and what do they all become together?
Together they all become a 15-6.
Which is the youngest son's master number.
There isn't really anything in the numerical system that would suggest the problems you're having. I mean, maybe you could scratch out some meaning here and there, but the impact of the numerical system doesn't really suggest this kind of tragedy.
But they are connected on a tribal level because of past life. So that's evidence in the birth dates.
Yeah, I mean, there is going to be always be something in there. But here it would be the best dynamic involved would be looking at maybe the absence of the father, the added pressure of peer pressure, some form of depression that the son went through. There may be something genetically involved, or the DNA, if your husband had any propensity towards alcohol, or if there's any drug addiction somewhere in the past background of the family.
I have a question about the husband.
Sure.
Your husband was in the military. Was he away for long periods of time?
He was. Yeah, he was, you know, especially after 9/11. Yeah, he was. I mean, we did the best we could, but yeah, he was gone a lot.
But that may have impacted your son.
You see, the son that committed suicide, unfortunately.
Oh no, he didn't commit suicide. Well, I mean,
it was an
accidental overdose. But yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. Correction.
That's okay.
The accidental overdose that prompted his death. But the fact that he was abusing drugs, there was something. He was depressed, and he was trying to fill a void. Now, maybe because of the structure of the family and the husband being in the military, maybe the child experienced a loss of some vital connection that couldn't be helped. But what filled that loss, unfortunately, the intervening factor was drugs.
You know,
and it started to probably make him feel alive at first, or escape to some dimension of his mind, but with an attitude of some kind of pleasure principle. And unfortunately, that became a bottomless pit. And he overdosed because the true nature of what he needed was lacking. And it wasn't anyone's fault. Maybe if someone had, I'm not sure if he had counseling or if there was any significant, or if the counselor was vitally talented to speak to him and help to save his life. I'm not sure about that, but that's where the energy is coming from. It's basically a psychological terrain we're dealing with.
So something about his birth date, I mean, obviously he shares it with the daughter, and what's happened in both of their lives completely different. However, he does have a zero in his month, and usually a zero in the linear code represents a past life that was either wasted by, you know, some act, maybe drug abuse that resulted in a death, or a suicide. And so something activated. So on a numerical level, there is a clue. Something activated that zero.
Yeah.
And that would be the drug abuse. And that's,
Now, Polly, you have to understand that 29s in my investigation of numbers are not necessarily positive. They have a negative energy field.
Oh, the
there's
son,
a 29 in your youngest son's day. Now, 29 becomes an 11
and
when you add up the two numbers.
I'm sorry to interject, but we talked to her about 11 with the boyfriend of the daughter,
okay.
And that was a problem with the boyfriend of the daughter. But
okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
And then the youngest son, the master number, and his brother's master number also come to an 11, 6 and 5. And the son that is deceased, he does have a 2 and a 9 throughout his numerical birth date. So there is now we can maybe investigate this in terms of the darkness of this episode and translate the numbers into narratives that result in some kind of dark passage of a past life that is permeating and becoming involved in this lifetime as a result of not feeling connected. So the reason that now your son is facing this possible dilemma of abusing drugs is because there's not an affirmative human connection. This doesn't result in you or your husband's inadequacies. This results in the internal structure of your children and how they analyze how they connect to human beings. There's something disconnected there. And it should be immediately addressed with your youngest son now that he's still living, and that he should be getting some really important vital help.
I've been trying. It's just difficult when they're of age, you know, they're old enough to, once they turn 18, you just kind of lose any
Yeah, and it's probably, you know, difficult if they're under 18 to get them to cooperate in a situation where they're in.
We don't have a lot of time, but I will say this. The element of energy has something to do with horses. So
does that any, real quick, just because we've got a couple other callers we got to get to before we close, does that resonate with anything that you can validate on the show? Anything with horses regarding you,
no.
Your family?
No, I can't think of anything. I mean,
okay.
You can't, well, you give it some thought, Polly.
Okay,
and
I will.
With anything, I want you to start visualizing horses. Watch horses.
Okay.
Videos, just trust me on this. We're reaching out for something that's maybe obscure right now, but these visions come and they are typically important.
Okay, I'll do that.
It
Thank you
on
so
a
much.
Lesser level than you're thinking too, because sometimes these things come in and they're much more subtle than the obvious connection that you might be trying to look for. So,
okay,
I'll
okay.
do it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, good luck. Polly.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye. Okay, so we have two callers, 530 and 541. We've got about 10 minutes. Oops. 541, I have to mute you and bring you on second because 530 has been waiting for over half hour. Hi.
Hey, you guys. This is Sherry.
Hi. Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
Hey. It's been a long time since we heard from you.
Yeah, I just wanted to check in and kind of see where you were picking up things in my numerology. I was last calling to see about when I would get relocated to Northern California, which I did.
So you're in Northern California.
Been,
there were like,
yeah.
You were looking at the Canyon area, which is actually Southern California.
That's my question. I don't know if I still am comfortable up here, but I feel the Canyon area kind of calling, Topanga, Malibu.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And I think she's a 9, but I can't remember your birthday. What's your birthday? It's been a long time.
Okay. It's 4/11/73.
No, she's an 8. 6/16.
Trying to see if I'm dealing with karma here or what.
Well, where are you? Can you give us your location? I know it's Northern California, but where specifically?
Do you know where do you know where Oroville is?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're by Sacramento, Chico, kind of that.
Yeah, between area. Right between those two. Between
you know, I think you told us you moved there, actually. I think you did tell us. Now I'm remembering. It's coming back to me now. And you don't – what's the problem with that area?
I crashed. It's been 2 years. Next April will be 2 years, and it's like I'm not – where I need to be financially.
Oh.
At all.
When you do readings, is that what you're doing for making for money?
Yeah.
Is that your only source of income?
Right now, yes. And I'm doing some writing too. I'm doing some freelance stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, can we keep the bills on? Yeah.
Well, I guess the first
Which
thing that comes to mind is that, you know, moving is going to cost money. So you're not where you need to be financially. So I don't know that a move is going to solve your problems. In fact, it could compound your problems. And I think, I mean, it's California. So cost of living is, you know, essentially similar in all areas. But I would imagine in Oroville, it's less expensive than it is in Southern California, in the region
right.
that you're looking to move to.
And I'm not looking to move right minute. I'm not looking to move right now.
Okay. So what's your question exactly?
Am I dealing with karma?
Go ahead.
I was just going to see if you could see numerically, am I dealing with some kind of bad karma here? Because it was kind of a rocky landing and as far as improvements, as far as meeting people and just this feeling good to me, I'm still feeling uncomfortable. And I, the money part doesn't help.
You moved 2 years ago.
Well,
so you went from 44.
Last April, so a year and a half right now.
A year and a half. So it was in 2018 that you moved?
Yeah,
you were
last April I got here.
You were 45.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
So she wasn't on a multiple when she moved.
No, but your master number is 8, so your next major multiple will be at 48. But because 26, your karmic number, is not divisible by 8, there's always a difference of 2.
Which
so
is still,
you
still
could you could move in somewhere within 6 to 8 months or in 2 years. Now,
2 years sounds better to me.
Yeah, 2 years when you're 48. So let's look at 48. You could move when you're 48. That's going to be the sixth cycle of your master number. You are 26 equals 8. The 8 and the 6 becomes 48. So we're looking at 48. You're where you're at because of karma. You have a karmic anchor there.
And part of her problem with finances is due to the fact on numerical level, which is what she asked about, everything on her linear board is below her master number. So that can sometimes present a problem. You're an 8, and your highest number is a 7 in your code.
Yeah. And the fact that you're born on the 11th and that you're born in 1973, those are two 11s. 1973 is an 11. And you're born on the 11th. So you and that those become a 4. 1111. So you have a obligation, even though you're past the age of 26, you have an obligation to fulfill the karma where you're at. So just sweat it through until you're 48.
Okay.
Save as much as you can. Do as much spiritual work as you can. Do your readings and your writings. At 48, the world, the map will open up for you. The earth
okay.
will open up for you, given that we're still here, and you will you haven't slipped in the ocean, or you know, the homelessness haven't taken over the planet. But the fact that what I mean to say is a house will appear. It's a rental at the beginning.
Did you buy or are you renting now? Because I know that was a question you had. When we
I'm renting, and that's what was part of the disaster. I wound up having to use all the proceeds from the sale of my home just to get this place livable. It was just awful the way this guy did everything.
And sorry, you're going to say something?
Well, no, go ahead.
No,
I was just going to ask, I mean, this is really not in context of the reading, but Oroville is like a farming community, right?
Well, and the thing is, I'm actually 45 minutes east. I'm up in the mountains. I'm in a tiny little town.
Oh, okay.
Oroville is the closest town.
Oh, I see.
And that's where I tell everybody I live.
So is it, I mean,
I'm in the forest.
Are you connected with people in your community or are you kind of isolated where you're at?
I'm very isolated and a lot of people are like that around here. I mean, it's just, like I said, it did not at all.
Yeah, it seems
now,
like
no,
it's a very insular area. Even in Oroville, I would imagine that it's conservative and not really progressive.
Yeah, a lot of drugs and just low vibration BS.
You're there for karma, Sherry. You're there for karma.
Okay.
Hold out. Save as much as you can. Your occupation is probably phone-based, so you give readings. Whatever freelance writing you do, you're making a modest income. So, but save as much as you can. Save, sacrifice, save, sacrifice, save. In 2 years at 48, there will be a home that you will be renting with the option to maybe buy it in time.
Okay.
Which may not occur until you're like 52 or something, but you'll be renting.
That's okay.
You'll be renting for a while.
What about, also, is that connected with a mate? Do you think?
Well, what? She's looking. Sherry, real quick, because we've got another caller and we're like 3 minutes away from the end of our show. Which
okay.
We'll have to have another caller. But if you're looking, you're wanting a relationship
as
well.
Yeah,
Well, I mean, the area that you're in does not sound like it's going to be an area that's going to be easy for you to find somebody. So perhaps multiple, you know.
Yeah, you'll get your mate when you make. You're in karma now. Not too many thrilling things are going to happen. You're sort of in a hovel. You're secluded. You need right now to just get through this incubation period. And then worry about the others. If you can keep your mind on that, you won't be frustrated. There is a necklace. Somehow there's a necklace that was a family heirloom or something. So there's a contact there, but we don't have time to get into it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. And what you say makes sense. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, Sherry. And Sherry should join us on Facebook. Gosh, I wish she would. Our accounts, Neil and Kristen Baker. We have a show page. I don't think she knows about that. She should like it. Neil Baker Psychic, all those pages. We would love her support and all of your support. 541 is our final caller.
Yes. Hi. This is Camille. Hi.
Camille.
Yes. You might have me, but I don't think I've called you from this number. It's been a long time. I used to call from California.
Yeah, I remember your name. I mean, I remember your name. I don't think you've had too many Camilles on the show. So what's your birthday?
July 13th.
And the year?
1976.
1976. Okay. What's going on, Camille? Did you move? Is that why you have a new number? Or?
Yeah, I moved a year and a half ago, more than a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So just curious, I have everything, my entire life is in storage. Will I be able to move out, go back to California, move out of storage and bring it up here?
Wait, so you're wanting to, where are you now?
I'm in Oregon. I'm on the Oregon coast.
Oh, really?
Oh, whereabouts?
Yeah. Lincoln City.
Oh, I used to live
there.
Wait
a second. Didn't we talk to her about Lincoln City? Now I'm remembering.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Did we talk to you about Lincoln City before?
I don't think so. No.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't
know. This feels new to me because I used to live in Lincoln City.
We've talked about Oregon on the radio with her.
Yeah.
Lincoln City. Interesting.
Mm-hmm,
is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to live there and the Nelscott Strip and Lincoln.
Oh!
Glen Eden Beach and all that.
Yeah.
The International
Disney.
Cool. I don't know if it's called that anymore. But, used to live there and spend a lot of time there. But
if you lived there, I guess you would have to spend a lot of time there. So you're wanting, you have your things in storage and you want them with you.
Yeah. I mean, I closed escrow on my house like 1 week early. So I had to leave everything behind in storage, and it's never been the right time for me to go back down and get it. And now I'm in a situation where I owe August and September rent together, and, you know, I need to pay that rent, or the alternative is I lose my things, and it's not just mine, it's mine and my child's. So it's kind of
you owe rent on a storage unit, and you're concerned about being able to pay it?
Yes.
You just bought a house, so you're having financial...
You bought a house in Lincoln City?
Yeah, I bought a house in Lincoln City a year and a half ago with proceeds from a sale of another house.
But
so that's all squared away. That's all safe.
That's square, but you're having financial... And you're going to ask
what kind of occupation do you have? What do you do?
I am a hypnotherapist.
Do you have a practice there in Lincoln City?
Yeah, I'm slowly but surely building that practice, yes.
And you're having the amount of how much do you owe for storage can't be more than like $400.
Times two. So I need to pay them $900 and some.
Really?
Over $900, yeah.
For storage. So this must be a really large unit if it's only, you said 2 months, right?
Yes.
My God, that's
really $900 a month?
It's $400 or $450 a month.
Yeah, they increased it. I mean, it's two clients. If I could just get two hypnosis clients, that takes care of it. I just haven't attracted those two.
Basically close to my figure. Anyway.
Well, Chris and I will work on you getting those two clients. I don't think that should be too challenging. We can put out energy for that. and work.
Can't you put it on a credit card for now? I mean, I wish I could.
I wish I could put it on a credit card. I just cannot. I can't finance that.
You mean you can't pay the bill of you can't pay the credit card bill?
Oh, I don't have a credit card to use. I have deal directly with debit credit, you know, debit card from my bank.
I don't want to encourage people to get into debt. However, credit card that you could put it on in the meantime while waiting for clients,
Can you get a credit card?
Can you get one?
I don't know. I would have to ask my bank. I would have to see if I could take out some. I guess I could ask.
You know, there's a lot of, and I've recommended this on the show to other people who are in financial straits and need to pay a bill right away. If you have good credit, 0%, you know, offers where you can get a 0% card for a period of like 12 months. And, you know, you're using the card and that those purchases for a period of 12 months, 18 months sometimes, won't accrue interest until after the 12 months expired.
Oh, right.
So that means that you could do it without getting seriously into debt with interest and things like that, because interest can be high. I would suggest going that route if you need to pay it quickly and you're afraid of losing your things. Obviously, getting the clients is going to be the ultimate goal, but you may not get a client by tomorrow. You might be able to get a credit card mailed to you by next week.
What we'll do is, a few names picking up here. Carrie, Kathy, Mark. I'm just picking up some names. So we're going to see if we can bring somebody in for you. There seems to be a male, possibly a female and possibly a male that might be a service. Lincoln City is a hard city to tackle in your category, it's improved since I've been there and it's expanded. So, and I don't know what your specialty is in hypnotherapy, you know, what you really deal with, but if you're licensed, there's a lot of depressed people there. And so you've got to be innovative. You know, you've got to maybe connect to the hospitals that are there nearby. You know, and maybe some of the counseling centers, some of the efforts where people are involved in discussion groups. But there's ways that you can even do a short lecture, rent a hall or something and do a short lecture and see if you can get somebody to in your grassroots effort to help those with your particular technique. But I think there's going to be two or three people coming in.
Okay.
And if you're considering doing a card, go online, look up 0% interest rates, and there's a lot of, you may not necessarily need to go to your bank. I don't know, do you bank somewhere like local?
Literally, my bank is, I can walk to my bank across the street from my house, but I haven't talked to them about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to offer that kind of deal, so you may want to go online too, and check to see what, I mean, you can apply and it takes 60 seconds and, you know.
And
0% interest rate, okay.
0% interest rate. Look up 0%
interest
rate credit cards online. Chase Bank is, you know, one that offers a lot, I think. And, you know, if your credit's good, you should be approved. And then, you know, that would at least take care of the immediate problem. You're going to say something
else. And real quickly, what is Lincoln City like now?
Oh, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. I love it here. We can walk to a beach like 4 blocks away. Luckily, we are not in a tsunami zone. But it's nice. My daughter is in school, so I'm getting to know more parents and more people that way. So it's
Is Devil's Lake still there?
Oh, of course.
And is there a Devil's Lake golf course? There used to be a golf course.
There is a golf course. I've never been down it. I'm not even sure where it's located, but
yeah, it's a little
Devil's
bit off
Lake. Kylo's restaurant. That's, you know, Devil's Lake.
Yeah, the Pixie Kitchen. There used to be a Pixie Kitchen restaurant there, but it's not there anymore. And Devil's Lake, I used to take water samples there because the lake was getting polluted with fungus and stuff.
Ew.
But there's a house near Devil's Lake that was the setting for Sometimes a Great Notion with Paul Newman. And it's
I've heard about that.
Yeah, beautiful home.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it's beautiful there. You've got the beach and the forest. And I used to live right there overlooking the ocean. It was beautiful. But,
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great place. It really is. Like, I'm not having, financial problems. It's just I need, you know, to attract some cash.
Oh, you're going to get
them.
That's it. You'll get them.
Yeah.
The population there when I was there was about 7,000. It must be about 14,000-15,000 now.
I think it's about the same.
Wow.
Oh, 7,000?
That's nice.
About so. It's about so.
Oh, really?
It's enough children, though, for my daughter to have friends.
I was a child guidance counselor there when I was there on a grant and worked with the individual children in the elementary schools. Yeah.
Nice.
But
okay.
Anyway, yeah, we're the same master number. So we're going to put out energy for you that you find your clients and you report back to us. Let us know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, please do report back. A lot of people don't. But
yeah,
please.
Well, you know. Thank you.
It's helpful to follow through and, you know, let us know what happens. Okay, good luck.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're out of time. We're way over, in fact, and we are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Oh, real quick, our schedule next week will be Tuesday and Friday, so we have a slight schedule change for the week. Following this week. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.